I want to warmly invite you to two really helpful things to know about as we start our teaching time this morning. One is if you don't have our church app yet, our app is available at Church Center. That's the name of the app. And then you go on and select Manor Church. And every week, loaded up there on the app are notes. It is a spot that says sermon notes, and there are notes. There's guidance for reading ahead for the next week. There are questions to prompt your growth in Jesus all week long as you seek to be an actively following disciple of Jesus. So the app is available there. And then second thing to maximize our time today is your own response. When we're done today, there'll be a warm invitation for you to join the prayer team here at the front. If you'd like prayer for encouragement, hope, healing, added strength in your life, if there's something that the Holy Spirit has stirred in your heart during the message today, or you've just got something heavy on your heart you'd like prayer support and encouragement on, prayer team will be here at the front, and they would love to hear from you and pray with you and encourage you in following Jesus in greater ways. I'm moved during this time of year, especially this year, thinking back on our first Christmas after Jared was born. Our firstborn. First Christmas after Jared was born. Grandma and Grandpa here in Pennsylvania decided that they would fly the three of us, Nance and Jared, under 1 year old, here to Pennsylvania for the holidays. That they would fly the three of us. You know, it's amazing how plane tickets arrive once a first grandchild arrives. Mom and Dad, if you're watching right now, which some mornings they are, thank you. 20 plus years ago, thank you. But it's just really, really intriguing, the matchup right there. This was pre-9/11 and pre-baggage restrictions. Does anybody remember that era? It was the good old days. You could bring anything to the airport, and they would load it under the plane, and you could, if you could get it there, you could put it on. I was crazy. Some of you weren't even born yet, and you're looking at me like, you got to be kidding me. What planet was this? It's true. And so that year, with a relatively newborn kiddo in tow, plus headed for Christmas, we had, I mean, this mess of stuff. I mean, this is just a fraction of what of the kind of stuff we had. I mean, we had gift wrap. We had packages wrapped up. Nance is carrying Jared in a car carrier, and she's toting him and a couple of other bags. There were points. I mean, we just looked ridiculous. I know we did. Because looking back on it, I felt ridiculous, okay? There were moments where literally I was shoving stuff on the floor. Like, I'm not kidding you. And so we looked like a band of gypsies going through the airport. And honestly, there were several points where we almost got stuck, utterly bogged down, wondering if we would make it to our gate on time. I'm not kidding you. It was that crazy that year. You know, on our journey toward Bethlehem, to search and find Jesus, how do we keep from getting stuck? Stuck on the quest with hang-ups in our hearts, our own levels of baggage and hurts and hurtful heartache in the past, and our own foibles and besetting sins, and the stuff that can really bog us down even as we're on our way to find the Jesus we're searching for, as we're on our way. How do we actually stay on that journey to find and follow Jesus and actually not only find him, but go on to live a lifetime of following him? See, this whole journey, and many of you are on the journey, some of you have readily joined in, a whole bunch of you have gotten, and you're telling me about your discoveries week by week in our travel guide. If you haven't gotten one of these yet, they're available at the info station as you go out today, and many of you are telling me about rich discoveries every week in the travel guide, and if you'd like to take one to share with somebody, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, feel free to grab one. We've got a few more out there, but as we're on that journey, It's not just a journey to get our hearts warmed at the holiday season. It's really a journey that can help springboard us into a life of finding and following Jesus. Not just at the Christmas season, but But that kind of life-altering, life-changing, heart-stirring, transforming for now and for all eternity, that kind of a journey. How do we keep from getting stuck? Stuck in our own heavy baggage of confusion and chaos. How do we keep moving forward to actually find Jesus and follow Jesus for a lifetime of love? So this morning's verses, the spot we're going to focus in on Matthew 2, continues us toward Bethlehem. And that's good. That's really good because we join the wise men and we see how they got moving again, because they had really kind of slowed down and come to a spot of some chaos and confusion and pondering and wondering and all of that. And we see them get moving again in our passage this morning. Verse 4, I invite you there. If you have it open or you have the app open, I invite you to take a look. Matthew 2, starting in verse 4. It says, when he, that is Herod, had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, so he's getting the religious bigwigs together, all the religious aristocracy of the day is coming together to powwow in committee with King Herod. He called them together. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, that was an echo of the pressing question that the Magi asked as they landed in Jerusalem. And so now here we go, this meeting with the religious bigwig leaders. Verse 5. Oh, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. The religious leader's info to Herod actually harkens back to Micah the prophet from centuries before. Gabby and the team led us in thinking about those verses in the midst of our worship segment this morning. Micah 5, verse 2. The fulfillment right here is stunning. Now soak this up for a minute. Actually think about the implications of this old prophecy from hundreds of years before, now fulfilled. And the likelihood, I mean, just the mathematical odds of that this prophecy made hundreds of years before from an old dead dude prophet would now be fulfilled in a little baby, at this point a little child in Bethlehem. That just blows my mind. If you actually slow down, it'll blow your mind too if you just slow down and think about that prophetic fulfillment. And here it is, Micah 5, 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. O little town. True back in ancient days and still true today. I'm dumbfounded by the fact some locational realities just don't change much across history. Marie, the skillful stylist who tries to work magic on my hair each month. Why are you laughing? You know, some of you have running commentary with me about the glare that keeps growing over time on this stuff, and some of you watching at home, you report to me on that. That's a lot of fun. Thank you. A few months back, she was buzzing my balding head, and she told me how she was headed on vacation soon to visit her family in Bethlehem and not Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Well, that got my attention. I mean, it's not every day that you're writing reflections, doing research about Bethlehem, and you discover that your hairstylist is headed there. Wow. And so I asked Maria about her plans while visiting. She said, well, I'll enjoy time with dozens and dozens of family members, nearly 200. work, she said, over a couple of weeks while I'm there. And so I replied inquisitively. I said, that's wonderful, but sure sounds like a lot of people. How are you going to do that? How are you going to catch up with them all? Is this going to be like one big family reunion or a couple different planned parties that you'll have? And she smiled and she said, oh, no, that's not necessary. She chuckled. She said, I just walk out the door and onto the street. Bethlehem really is that small. She said that. That close. Everybody knows my family, and my family is everywhere, Marie said. I'm related to just about everybody. And with this ancient prophecy, Micah's prophecy, we taste anticipation of special attention with this prophecy fulfilled, but exaltation for Bethlehem. Don't miss that. Exaltation for Bethlehem, a move from insignificance to great significance. Don't miss two extra unique inclusions in these old, old prophetic lines. First, Micah said it would be easy to downplay the little town. Regarding the original lines in Micah's prophecy, scholars Redmond, Curtis, and Fentress, these scholars explain. They say Micah described Jerusalem as being small among the clans of Judah. In other words, it's an insignificant community. So they say when they named the major cities of Israel in the Old Testament, Bethlehem didn't make the list. Yet out of this insignificant place would come the most significant person ever born on earth, the Messiah of Israel. Wow. What a move from insignificance to the greatest significance of all. Bethlehem. Years later, when the religious leaders paraphrase their prophetic answer in their meeting with Herod, which is really what they do. They paraphrase. They note special emphasis with their interpretation. Bethlehem is, they say, by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler. In keeping with Matthew's emphasis, it's all about the ruler, the promised king, his kingdom, and the response. The response of his kingdom citizens. And there's a second unique inclusion. Note this. This baby king born in Bethlehem will indeed be like his great, 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 great grandfather David. As a Messiah, the anointed one, Jesus will be a shepherd king. A shepherd king. What stunning proclamation of strength, yes, bold leadership, yes, but also gentle, tender care, empowering protection, and all-out rescue from the dark arch enemy, the evil one. How marvelous to discover, and I urge you, pay close attention. Like, listen up, watch this. This is at the very heart of Advent this year for us. Look at this. The Jesus you're searching for is a strong, mighty, gentle, more than able shepherd king. Strong, mighty, gentle, more than able shepherd king. This would have truly messed with, I mean really messed with, popular categories in first century messianic expectations. Passionate anticipation held out for a take charge, political revolutionary. People were eager for a conquering liberator who would free them from Rome, revive their independence, and grant them absolute economic flourishing. A shepherd king still messes with people's categories in our 21st century world today. You see, instead of a sword-wielding king, we meet a shepherd with a rod and a staff. Here's an altogether different style of Messiah. He arrives as a shepherd in heart and action. He's ever present, consistently dwelling with his sheep. Recall that bonus name focus we talked about last week, and we see it right here in the context. Emmanuel, God with us. He urges the sheep to rest in lush green pastures and be renewed there. He leads his sheep beside calm, refreshing streams. He guides his flock on right paths in such a way that the rhythms of their lives as they walk those paths will just constantly encounter his glory, his honor, his great fame every day. How great and famous their God is. And when the shepherd king does flex his muscles, and he does flex his muscles when he does that, it's to beat off wild beasts and pull his own sheep to safety. His mighty rod and protective staff bring such comfort. He's the king of comfort. He supplies a feast for his flock, even in the face of dark enemies. He sets a great big table with a great big feast. And he promises his ongoing, abiding, reassuring presence forever in his house, forever in his fold. Yes, we can readily find the Jesus we're searching for in the shepherd psalm of Psalm 23. Yes. Those who would hear this prophecy would say, oh, I know that one. I know that song. Oh, he's that kind of king. Oh, that kind of strong, guarding, guiding, loving, convicting, changing, transforming, moving, grace-giving king. And of course, we dare not miss contrasting characters in the old Christmas story. Quite difficult to miss such contrasting dispositions in Matthew's Christmas cast. Herod felt paranoid and threatened. We did further deep dive on Herod last week. We see it more right here. He feels paranoid and threatened. As a result, deep in his heart, he was antagonistic. Rome's appointed king, Herod, was plotting and scheming in order to retain his throne, not only for him, but for his line, his family line. Jewish leaders, those bigwigs, the teachers of the law and the scribes, the Pharisees, the whole mix there, they were quite apathetic. Quite apathetic. Ho-hum. Not really excited about Bethlehem or the babe born there. Not excited in the least. Consider this. They actually held all the right information. Ample insight was theirs. They even lived nearby. And yet these uber-informed religious leaders have made no intentional movement to search for this new king. Talk about stuck. Talk about waylaid with their baggage and not making progress through the airport. Whoa! Apparently, they were quite comfortable with knowing the prophecies, but they lacked the motivation to get moving. Passion was missing. No real drive to embark on their own quest to go to Bethlehem and find the baby king. Soren Kierkegaard noted this. Kierkegaard said, although the scribes could explain where the Messiah should be born, they remained quite unperturbed in Jerusalem. They did not accompany the wise men to seek him. Similarly, watch this, Kierkegaard says, similarly, we may know the whole of Christianity, yet make no movement. God's historical people, though so nearby, fell so short, no movement. Ironically, it was to come from afar magi. Yeah, It was the Magi come from afar whose disposition was wonderfully devoted. The Gentiles in our story, those not considered in the fold, are the ones who are passionate about finding this Jesus and worshiping him. It's the ones outside the fold who come seeking the Shepherd King. They show themselves to be truly wise. Quite vital to assess our own hearts and disposition. Quite vital to assess our own hearts and disposition. Are we in the fold, full of good knowledge, but apathetic and unmotivated? Or are we authentically, passionately eager to find the Shepherd King? If you feel like you're searching from a faraway place today, take heart, sincerely. If you feel like you are searching from a faraway place, take heart. Even if you think of yourself as coming from outside the sheepfold, hear God's Spirit loud and clear. You are a prime candidate to find Jesus. And not only find him, but follow him for your whole life. The Shepherd King. The one you're looking for. And don't miss Matthew 2 and verse 9. Matthew 2 and verse 9. Will you read it aloud with me? Let's read it together. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. After they heard the king, they went on their way. Consider what the Magi might have been wondering. How reliable are those Jewish religious leaders? If their intel is really so good, why aren't they eager to go with us? Is Herod sending us on a wild goose chase? After all, we've heard he's not always a nice guy. The Magi might have been saying to themselves, well, if the baby king is in Bethlehem, how will we really know it's him? And might we be better off to stay put in Jerusalem? I mean, after all, we've met a lot of great people here, and people seem to like us kind of kicking things up and stirring things around. We've got a pretty good crowd here. The wise men have been in and out of many meetings. They heard what King Herod told them about Bethlehem, the ancient prophecy, and solid projection as the best place to keep searching for the newborn. So they went on their way. They went on their way. They got moving again. They left Jerusalem, headed for Bethlehem. They kept moving forward. No doubt about it. Herod was a feisty agitator, but God actually used evil King Herod to help the Magi gain momentum on their quest. And now consider this, friends. Listen, God can use, he does it all the time, God can use all sorts of people and circumstances to get our attention, shake things up, and move us along with momentum. Alfred Delp, years ago, back in the mid-1900s, Alfred Delp called this the shaking reality of Advent. Delp declared, listen to these lines, Alfred Delp. He said, here is the message of Advent. Faced with him who is the last, speaking of Jesus as the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega, the last one, the world will begin to shake. Only when we do not cling to false securities, Delp says, only when we do not cling to false securities will our eyes be able to see this last one and get to the bottom of things. Only then will we be able to guard our life from the frights and the terrors so that we may awaken from sleep, as Paul says, and see that it is time to repent, time to change things. It is time to say, all right, it was night, but let that be over now and let us be ready for the day. For Delp, Advent carried something heavy. A real gravitas about it. Consider Delp's baggage. He was referencing St. Paul's seriousness in Ephesians 5:14-16. Ephesians 5:14-16, Paul said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Paul calls us all to be wise ones. Advent shakes things up, wakes us up, and gets us moving so we find and follow Jesus for a lifetime. A Jesuit priest, Delp, wrote these words from a Nazi prison. No wonder his Advent was so heavy. He had been condemned for his opposition to Hitler, and he was hanged shortly after penning these words in 1945. He knew firsthand what it was to wrestle with frights and terrors, to ponder his own securities. Ultimately, Advent, the shaking of Advent helped him find Jesus anew, his true security and his motivation for such courageous faith, even in the face of all out evil. So what might be your baggage? Seriously, ponder. What might be your baggage that blocks your momentum as you search for Jesus? Consider some pieces of baggage. We all wrestle with different ones. There's this business of getting waylaid. Letting waylays sidetrack us. As we journey in faith, it's inevitable we'll travel, and as we travel, we'll encounter treacherous, winding mountain roads. We'll likely end up in ho-hum committee meetings. Anybody just love committee meetings? We'll end up in ho-hum committee meetings with bigwigs in Jerusalem-like places. There are indeed questions to ask, yes, wise input to gain, absolutely, and fresh markings to put on your map as you're seeking Jesus, absolutely. Those components are important. You just want to make sure you don't get waylaid, stuck in Jerusalem, and never move out. Don't forget the original aim. You're searching for Jesus. You're on your way toward Bethlehem to find him and follow him all your life. Here's another movement blocker, another piece of baggage. Assuming, I've got this. Anybody have a friend or a kid or a grandkid who it's always like they really do need help, but they're like, I got this. Sometimes we get cocky and overly confident about our progress. Deep inside, we're saying things like, yeah, boy, giddy up. Woo, we're the wise ones. We raised a ruckus around these parts. Got our Roman ruler all stirred up. By golly, look how far we've come now. We've really made progress, stirred up dust on this old spiritual trail. Yes, sirree, indeed we have. Okay, so we might not audibly say such things. We might not audibly voice such bravado, but we think it. You know you do. I know I do sometimes. An arrogant spirit can overinflate our persona and bog us down. Our best searching can turn into pride about our own spiritual progress. Hubris can keep us from taking humble, faith-filled steps, forward steps, those right-sized steps essential for us to find Jesus and keep following him. Here's another blocker, real baggage. Feeling apathetic, overcontented, and lackadaisical. I'm afraid a lot of us get stuck right here, especially this time of year. It's altogether possible that we might successfully avoid Herod's dark heart. It's easy to look at this old story and go, oh yeah, I'm not Herod, I'm good. Oh yeah, I wouldn't be that mean-spirited. I wouldn't be that ornery, conniving, and nasty. But still, we can be disastrously succumbing to the outlook of the Jewish chief priests and teachers. D.A. Carson aptly notes how he says, the desires of the Gentile Magi to worship the Messiah stand out against the apathy of the leaders who did not apparently take the trouble to go to Bethlehem. Matthew plainly says that though Jesus was the Messiah born in David's line and certain to be shepherd and ruler of Israel, it was the Gentiles who came to worship him. And so these Magi are the ones who gained momentum, real traction on the trail. They moved forward to find this Jesus they'd been searching for. As we finish today, I urge you to consider these pro tips to keep moving. Some pro tips to keep moving. Science class, ninth grade, you probably learned Newton's first law of motion. Do you remember it? A body at rest tends to stay at what? Rest. But a body in motion tends to stay in motion unless worked upon by an outside force. So, if the wise men could supply you with a pro tip this Advent, I bet they'd say, stay moving, stay flexible. Stay moving, stay flexible. Be quite open to surprises. Resist rigidity and set in your ways mindset. Say yes more readily. Will you be open to God's surprises this week and ready to say more yeses than nos? Say yes. And by all means, be the kind of person who stirs up dust and helps generate surprises for others, especially your kids and grandkids. Make Advent adventuresome this year. Magi might also say, yo, wake up, 21st century earth dwellers. Wake up! Stay agile and open to new developments. I mean, traditions are great. We've engaged even today in some of them, and there are more to come. Traditions are great, but watch out. Traveling the same paths year after year, just the same old ways, gets monotonous. Be open to take new roads. So you really do find Bethlehem and find and follow Jesus for all your life. They'd probably say, stay calm. Yeah, there's time to keep moving, but there's time to calm down, stay put. Movement is great, but you also need white space and margin so you can actually hear Christ and his Spirit speak into your life. It's especially vital. If you're one of those overachievers, take on the whole world types at Christmas, it's one thing to have your list and keep checking it twice, but some of you have 10 lists. Yeah, you know who you are, or you're cackling because you're married to one of those. You know, it's so important to deliberately plan white space and margin and quiet and margin and space to actually slow down and listen. See, the Jesus you're searching for, well, he really truly is gentle. Some of us get so keyed up on the strong and mighty and take it on, tackle it side of Jesus in life and Christmas time, and we miss it that he is gentle and he is loving and he is full of mercy and full of grace. And he loves to lead us in green pastures so we can be refreshed and have our soul restored. He loves to lead us beside calm and quiet waters so we can drink anew of his Spirit and let him speak into those places in our hearts and lives and revive us and renew us and strengthen us. And when we make space like that, a lot of traction can then be gained when you do move out on the next leg of the journey. I'm confident the wise men would say, get help. One of the best Advent steps we can take is realize what we don't know. Then get help from those who know. If you've got fresh questions stirring, ask the person who invited you to this service. If you're with us online and somebody told you about watching this, go back and say, I've got questions. Or you're warmly invited when we're done in a few moments to come to the front, and one of our prayer team members would just love to share with you. You can come and say, yo, and share your name and then just say, I got questions. Or I'm wondering, I'm pondering about. And they would love to interact with you and encourage you. Be wise enough to admit you need wisdom. And the Magi would likely say, stay action biased. Stay action biased. Some of us get stuck there in committee in our own Jerusalem and we never get moving on from our meetings. We're all talk, no action. All talk, no action. How and toward whom will you move intentionally this Christmas? This journey to find Jesus. Have you taken on the star challenge? A bunch of you have. The table's filling up with stars out there. If you haven't yet, I invite you to stop by the Advent journey table as you go out today and go ahead, you yourself, and pray over some of those spots. Their names, hundreds of them there now. And if you haven't yet, I invite you to take two stars. There are baskets there and also in the back and at the info station. And write duplicate names on them. Two or three, four or five names of people. You're eager to help encourage them on their own journey toward Jesus this season. Yeah. Could be somebody for whom life's going great. Awesome. Pray it goes even greater. It could be somebody who really needs fresh dose of Jesus, fresh dose of encouragement. Maybe, probably needs to meet Jesus in a renewed way, or maybe even for the very first time. Urge you, encourage you. Write the names, duplicate stars, take one with you so you're prayerful and watching and listening for where Jesus might use you to encourage them on their journey and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And leave one so that we can all week long be praying and our leaders will be praying over those stars again this week. Prayers for movement to find the Jesus you're searching for. So a couple of Advent reflection questions for wrap up. And Gabby and the team are going to come right now and get ready to sing for us a reflection song. But I want to urge you to ask yourself these questions as we finish today. A couple questions. First, honest heart assessment. Honest heart assessment. Do you tend to get waylaid? Are you waylaid right now? Are you stuck somewhere in an airport, spiritual airport, and not all that action biased? Why? You might ask Jesus that question this morning. Just ask him, say, why? Let him ask you that question. Why am I waylaid? Why am I stuck? Why do I feel stuck? And then how might you be sensing a good shaking right now? I know, if you feel like you're being shaken, that's not fun. It's not fun to be DELP in a Nazi prison. No way. None of us would long for that. But it's actually a good place because it's there, right there, that you can find Jesus. So what's it going to take in the midst of that shaking for you to turn toward Jesus, to turn with repentance, to turn with a heart eager to find him to be your shepherd, your gracious Lord, your gracious King. Let me share an Advent prayer. You can make it your own. I want to pray this over us. So our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I invite you to join me, heads bowed and eyes closed. And you can make this your own prayer. What a privilege to gain fresh perspective, Jesus. What a joy, what a privilege. Now, as we find you this season and see you more clearly, we praise you. Praise you that you are our Shepherd King. Yes, you are strong and mighty, but you are also tender. So tender and caring and loving and gentle with us. And you lead us exactly where we need to go, and you guide us in all the ways we need wise guidance. You lovingly include people from far away, like the wise men and like us. Thank you for being such a wondrously different sort of king. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.